Amen. Let's prepare our hearts today as we receive what I feel the Lord laid on my heart. We're going to continue on the series of The Devil Hates Me. And this is part three. Part three of The Devil Hates Me. And ironically, my opening statement is, have you ever said something that offended somebody? Amen. It happens, don't it? You know, perhaps sometimes we're just being mean-spirited. Or sometimes it even happens that sometimes we just speak the truth, and that can sometimes make somebody mad, and I think we've all done that before. And, you know, that's what happens sometimes when you and I speak the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth. And the devil hates us because he gets mad when we speak the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth, and what truth does, it exposes the lie, right? And really, that's what we as believers are supposed to do, is continue in the truth. Now, to backtrack a little bit, we've already talked about the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, on how important those two things are in the life of a believer. Because we need to have a working knowledge about what the blood of Jesus has done for us and the price that it paid, and then also the power that's in the name of Jesus, that when we use that name, we have the power of attorney, and that we're actually speaking on behalf of God. Now, today we're going to look at what we speak, and that's the Word. The scripture we're going to start with is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. This is a topical message, so we're going to look at a couple of scriptures again today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, and it reads, "For this reason we also constantly thank God, that when you received the word of God, which you have heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which is able to perform its work in you who believe." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today, the opportunity you've given us, and the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here. Lord, I ask that you just open our hearts and our minds to receive what the Spirit of God would say. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And again, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, what we see from this passage is the fact that they didn't take holy stuff for granted. And see, that's something that we need to be aware of in our life, not to take, you know, the Word of God or things of God for granted in our life, because after a while of being a Christian, we can grow so accustomed to these things to be a part of our life, you know, we forget just really what they're about. So really, it's not just a book that talks about life, which sometimes we can get, you know, off on that, but it's a book that gives us life, and that's what the Word of God does. It gives us life. Jesus said, as a matter of fact, that His words are spirit and they are life. And that's why it is so important for you and I to be able to get into the Word of God and to find out what it really says. You know, we do not need to be continually walking in our life and living our life being unaware of really what God is trying to tell us in His Word. Because it's the Word of God that causes us to be an overcomer. Now, you can fight the good fight of faith on your own, or you can fight the good fight of faith with the Word of God. And believe me, the Word of God is easier, because the Word of God always works. Two things have to happen here. Number one, we got to receive it. The word receives means to take delivery of or receive with friendliness. See, there's a difference between the message that is sent and the message that is received. You know, how many times, especially as a parent, have you sent a message to your kids, but they did not receive it, and they did not receive it with great joy, so they did not act upon it? And see, it's like that with the Word of God. God is always sending His Word our way. He's always wanting us to be able to take, because the Word of God is a holy seed, and seeds always produce fruit. And we have to remember that. That's what it is. So the Word of God has the power on it to be able to accomplish that for which it was sent. Next, after we receive it, we have to go a little deeper in it, and that's talking about being able to accept it. And that's talking about to readily receive information and regard it as true. Now, we live in a society where truth is an absolute in many people's lives. They go by what they feel or what they think or what the news says or what it says on Facebook or what it says, you know, different things. But the fact of the matter is, as a believer, we need to come to the place in our life that the Word of God says what it says, and that's just the way it is. And once we treat that as an absolute, only through those eyes and through that information should we be able to interpret the world around us. Because the world will try to send us a different message. Remember, Satan doesn't want us to be able to use the Word of God or to understand really what it says. And he's a liar. He'll send half-truths, just like he did with Eve in the Garden of Eden in different times and all through history. You know, he's trying to get us off base and where God really wants us to be. And we see at also in that passage that the Word performs its work. It's a transforming power. You know, as I look back at my life, I've always said, you know, the Word of God has the ability to change you. You know, I've said, I've tried to change myself. I've tried to fix myself because I was really broken. I was broke. Not financial. I've never been broke financially. I've always had money. But I was broke spiritually and in my soul. Just totally messed up. And I tried to fix myself. I tried to do this and I tried to do that and I tried to hang around these people, but nothing really worked. But when I started to get the Word of God in my life, then change started to happen because the Word of God is a transforming power and it has the ability to come into our life and to be able to mold us and make us. See, God is the potter and we are the clay. And see, the Word of God plays a part in that because as we let Him have His way and we receive the Word of God with truth, all of a sudden, you know, I've said this, my aunt, I have some aunts, my mom's sisters, and one of them I wrote because before I got really saved, I was dabbling in Christianity. I backpacked around Europe for 2.5 months. Just went off and, you know, it was quite an adventure, to be honest with you. And it's a wonder I survived. But anyway, that's another story. But what happened when I was looking at the statue of David that Michelangelo had chiseled out, and I made a joke about how, you know, he was a little chiseler, you know, and my aunt got a kick out of that. And then I got to thinking after I got saved several months later, just how God, what He does, it's like we're a big block of stone. And God comes in with the Word of God, and He places that chisel, and He breaks off big pieces. Sometimes little pieces, which are less painful, but every now and then a big piece will just fall off when He hits it. And He's trying to get away because, you know, I'm not very artistic at all. I'm terrible at art. Can't write my name even. I mean, I can't clap, can't dance. Just a lot of problems in that area. So when I look at a rock, I see a rock. But when Michelangelo looked at a rock, he seen David. And see, that's what God can see in our lives. God can look at beyond what we see on the outside, and through the Word of God, He can see what He can make us into. And we have to trust Him in that area. So the first part was the fact that the Word changes our lives. Now we're going to look at about how the Word of God can be used to defeat the devil. Now this is a little longer passage, Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights," not for 40 minutes, you know, like we do, He went 40 days and 40 nights, no food. Think about it. "Then He became hungry. And the tempter came to Him and said, 'If you're the Son of God,'" which He was, "'command that these stones become bread.' But Jesus answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil took Him into the holy city and had Him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to Him, 'If you are the Son of God,'" which He was, "'throw yourself down, for it is written, I will command the angels concerning you, and on their hands will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" That's good preaching right there. Then it says again, "And in their glory, He said to him, all these things," Satan just showed Him all the glory. He said, "All these things I will give to you if you fall down and you worship me." Well, Jesus has had enough right there. He said, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and began to minister him. See, here's quite a confrontation between Jesus and the devil. And the devil knows the Word, but he just don't understand it. And you have to understand that the devil knows the Word, and that's why he can use it and try to manipulate and, you know, coerce some people to not really getting what it's really mean. Now, on the first thing that I see, I don't know really what the devil is thinking right here. You know, Jesus is the Word made flesh, and He's using the Word of God to come against the Word. You know, think about it. I mean, I don't mean anything bad, but I mean, that's kind of dumb, isn't it? You know, I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to debate God? Think about it. You know, that's a no-win situation. But see, Satan thought he could do that, and he was trying to get Jesus to follow him because Satan at that time was the God of this world. Now, we know Jesus defeated him at the cross. It's a little different deal, although Satan still does operate and try to manipulate here. But that's why Satan said, I can give you all this stuff. Why? Why could he give him all the stuff? Well, Jesus hadn't paid the price yet because Adam gave dominion to Satan when he fell in the Garden of Eden. See, that's how much trust God gave to mankind when he gave man dominion and man surrendered dominion to the devil. And that's why it's so important that Jesus came to be able to bring that dominion back to the rightful owners, which is us, God's people. And that's what God has for us. So it's up to us to be able to, and the scripture even tells us to make Jesus' enemies his footstool. So there are a lot of things that you and I need to do. Now, I'll be honest, if Satan would have understood the Bible, he would not have killed Jesus. Because if he'd have read what it really said, that's the biggest mistake that he made. Because when Jesus died and his blood was shed, that paid the price for all mankind to redeem them back. So if Satan was smart, he'd let him die of old age, but he didn't, did he? He stirred everybody up against him. And they took him to the cross, he was crucified, and death could not hold him down. Now, you and I, on the other side, we need to have a working knowledge somewhat of Scripture, what it's really talking about. You don't have to know the whole Bible. You just need to know kind of where you can find some things. And I think it's good to get in the Word every day. That's a good policy to have. But let the Word of God come into your life. Have the Holy Spirit. You know, John 14:26 says, the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. Now to me, before he can bring it to your remembrance, that means you had to have it once, right? So that's why it's good to read the Word. Then you have an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to bring it back at a timely fashion, right when you need it, so you can use it. So that's why it's good to get the Word of God into our lives. So then, you know, as Jesus, he used the Word properly. See, Satan was trying to, contort the Bible to test Jesus and try to get him some things that, he wasn't supposed to do. But Jesus understood what it meant and he used it properly to defeat the devil. And I just can't stress enough the importance of you and I. Now, I've fought the good fight of faith for quite a few years right now. And I'll just tell you this how it really is. You can resist him spiritually and that is fine. But I have found this in my life that when I use the Word of God, it doesn't drain me spiritually. When I resist the enemy, because I'm using the power that's in the Word of God. I don't have to exert any of my spiritual energy, shall we say, or spiritual strength. And sometimes you have to a little bit. But I'm just telling you, if you use the Word works, the Word has power, it can accomplish that for which God sent it to do. You know, when I hear that, when I know that people speaking evil of me or my family, You know, I thank you. I use that scripture in Isaiah. It says, no weapon formed against me will prosper, but every word spoken against me, God will condemn. Yeah, you know, I'll let the Lord take care of it. Amen. I don't go over and get in somebody's face and say, you said this, you said that. I just let God deal with it. Amen. And the Word of God will start to work in our life and start to do things. And then we'll start to see things. We'll start to get in the flow because it's a different system. It's a different pattern. We're so used to taking things, doing what's right in our own eyes, the Bible says. That we just want to do what we want to do and the way that we think we ought to do it. And that's dangerous sometimes, especially if your mind is not renewed to the Word of God. But when we get in there, I just can't stress enough the power that's on it, because here's what Jesus wants to do. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, is talking about the Word of God sets us free. Now, this is really what we need to get to the point in the area that we're free. Now, freedom to some people means different things. And I'm just going to use an illustration here that we've used before. The idea of freedom and what that means, and I want to talk about worship just for a second. You know, how free we need to be in worship. You know, we're just not playing patty cake here. You know what I'm saying? We're just not trying to clap on time, even though I do try. Amen? You know, what we're doing is that we're getting into the presence of God. And we need to get to the place where it's just like we're home alone. And nobody else is around us. And we're just wanting to worship our Heavenly Father. I remember times in my life, when you know, I would start to raise my hands and I'd go like this. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Jesus, I love you. You know, praise God. You know, hopefully nobody's looking because I got my hands up a little bit. And don't get me wrong, you don't have to raise your hands to show anybody anything. But in my heart, I wanted to raise my hands. You know, I wanted to get there. To me, that was something that it's not common for me to do. You know, but then after a while, I could get to the place where I could just raise my hands and surrender to my Heavenly Father during worship because He is worthy. And see, that comes by a level of freedom that can only be purchased through Jesus Christ and Him coming to our life. Because Jesus says in John 8, 31 and 32, it says, Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed in Him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine and you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. See, the more I got into the truth, and I'll tell you what, the greatest truth that you guys can get, anybody can get, is that we don't care what anybody thinks about us. Amen? Are you there yet? Come on. Are you there yet? Do you care what people think about you? Do you care of what they say, oh, you're just a holy roller raising your hands? Or that, you know, that person, you know, they go to church all the time. Who they think they are? Do you care what people think? I hope not. But see, if you get in the Word of God, see, then we're getting to the place where we're saying, I care more about what God thinks about me than I do about what my friends or other people think about me. And if they're really your friends, they want you to get free. Who would want a friend that is all bound up? Nobody would. But see, that's why we need to get to the place in our life and our walk with God where we're so free that it doesn't matter. God may tell you to go do something. You know, some of the best evangelism you can do is at the grocery store, amen? You know, you're walking around there looking for food and everybody's got their special aisles, but you know, maybe God will prompt you to go share your faith with somebody. You know, and you're free enough to do that. Because it's an opportunity to share the truth of Jesus Christ or maybe talking to a friend or a family member. Maybe somebody's sick and in the hospital and you feel that God told you to go pray for them. Well, do that. You got to be free to do that. Because the world says, no, don't do that. You know, have you ever had somebody in the world, you offer to pray for them and they say, oh yeah, you know, pray for me sometime. You know, no, now. No, we're going to pray now. You want me to pray for you? And I was just talking to somebody the other day, and I haven't made it over there yet. But, you know, they had had an accident, and I just said, you know, you want me to pray for you? And they meant pray for me, you know, just on my own private, personal time. I said, hey, I'm going to drive by one of these days, and I'm just going to stop in and pray for you. Got quiet on the other side of the phone, you know what I'm saying? That's not their interpretation of prayer. But see, I'm free enough, I'm not ashamed to go and pray for people. You know, because I believe that prayer works and it's important to pray for people. I believe it's important to share the truth and the love of Jesus Christ with people. You know, I believe that the Bible says what it says, that if you die without Christ, you go to hell for eternity. Amen. And I don't want their blood on my hands. So I believe it's important that we share. I know that not everybody's going to accept it. I read the back of the book. But I don't know who's not. Amen. And you don't either. That's why we need to share the word. And let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God do its work. We don't have to try to convince anybody. We just got to share the truth and love. Let the Holy Spirit, let God do His work in their life, just like He did your life. And then we're going to see some good things happen. So this passage is talking about, he is making a distinction between those who said they believe and those who actually continue in the Word. See, it's not about just starting out. It's about how you keep going. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, they come up and they shake the preacher's hand, they come up and get prayed for, they get saved, but they don't continue in the Word. They don't continue in it. And what I see is that, you know, to continue means to persist in an activity or process, and how important a process is. Now, I think we need to have processes that govern our lives. And as we continue in the Word of God, it's one of the proofs that we have of discipleship. Because we know how important it is to get in the Word. And here's what I feel, is that process brings progress. If we don't have a process, that's why we don't have progress in our growth in God. You know, I've been saved over 30-some years. I'm still learning all the time. I've read the Bible I don't know how many times through. Ever since 1985, read the Bible every year. every year, right through the Bible. I see things new every time. Of course, as I get older, maybe I'm getting forgetful. Maybe it's all new, you know? You know, I don't know how that works. But anyway, there's always something in there. It's a thick book. And the good news is the Holy Spirit is with us every step of the way. And that's the difference, because what separates the Bible from other religions and other books is the fact that we have the Spirit of God, that when we're reading it, He can bring life to some passage that we need at that time. That's going to help us. But see, if we're not in the Word, then it's a difficult opportunity for the Holy Spirit to help us in that way. Because everything needs to work together. You know, as you're making your, if you're putting a meal together, it takes every ingredient to come in to make it taste right, right? If you start cutting out some stuff, it's not just going to be the same. So that's why if we do everything that God tells us to do in His Word, the way that He said to do it, then we're going to have success. You know, if we know the truth, you know, the truth won't set us free by itself, but it says you have to know the truth. You know, there's a lot of people walking in bondage and walking in darkness right now because they don't know the truth. You know, they may have a Bible, and everybody about has a Bible on their devices now, don't they? You know, but there's a difference between having the Word of God in our heart and just having it in a book. And see, that's why the devil, you know, if we look at the parable of the sower, which we're not going to look at today, is why the enemy always came to try to steal the seed. Why? Because the seed scares him. The seed makes him frightened. Because the most dangerous thing on this planet is a Christian that knows what the Bible says. That's the most dangerous thing on this planet. Because you've been empowered, and also now you've been informed. And you can go forth in the name of Jesus Christ to set the captives free. And see, that's why Satan tries to steal the word. He tries to steal the seed. That's why he gets husbands and wives and kids mad at each other before they get to church. That ride to church is always dangerous. Some people, I say, you just ought to ride separately, amen? You know, so you can get here and you can be ready. You don't be all worked up about something that don't really matter, right? We've been there. I've been there. That's why me and my wife ride separately all the time. No, I come early to set up. I that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. But amen. You know, but you know, getting there and having your heart ready to receive that seed, because what it's going to do, it's going to make a difference. And knowledge of and adherence to is the key. So application's everything. All right, my last passage I want to look at today is a familiar one in Romans 10, verse 8, and how the Word of God needs to be released in our mouth. Now remember, we started out looking in the beginning about how the Word of God changes lives. Then we looked at how the Word of God defeats the devil. And then we just looked at how the Word of God sets us free. Now we're going to look about how the Word of God needs to be released in our mouth. And this is going to take a step of boldness up on our part. Because as you start to do it, the process, it's going to be a little bit different and feel a little uncomfortable. Well, Paul was preaching here again. He says, but what does it say in Romans 10:8? He says, the word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are preaching. Now, Satan hates it when you get the word of God in your heart. That's why he tries to steal it. But what he hates worse is when you put it in your mouth. When you put the word of God in your mouth, and you start to release what's in your heart by faith, that's when you become hard to handle. I don't know about you, but I want to be hard to handle. You know, this life, the mark I want to live, I don't want a hospital named after me. I don't want a school named after me or a ball field. I just want to know that I was hard to handle. That's all I want to be remembered for, is that the enemy considered me a threat, because I have one life to live here on this planet. Then I go to be in heaven. And from what I see, there's not going to be a whole lot of fussing and fighting up there. Amen? The fussing and fighting's down here. This is where we fight the good fight of faith. This is where we do battle with the enemy and try to set the captives free. See, the Lord knows that there's a lot of words coming out of your and my mouth. You know what I'm saying? He hears them all. We hear them. The things that we say. The things that come out of our mouth sometimes. You know, that's why we need to have our repenter turned on all the time. Amen? So he can repent, and that's all good, because the blood of Jesus will take him away. But want to make the devil mad, you start to release your faith through your mouth. And as you do that, you're going to start to see things start to happen, because the word has the power on it to accomplish that for which it was sent. You know, it doesn't really do us any good to have the word of God in just a book. You know, or just, you know, you put it up in your bookshelf. Or maybe you're a bold witness for Christ. You went and got you one of those big Bibles and you set it right on your out in your living room, right on the table there. Bless God for everybody to see. You got you a big Bible. Never opened it, but you got a big Bible. You know, there's more to it than that. So it's not just having the big Bible. It's not just about how many apps you got. Praise God. I like apps. I like having those little scriptures sent my way on my smartphone. You know, I just, hey, praise God, I like that one. You know, that's all good. You know, but it's more than having a memory verse sent to you every day. It's about getting that word in your heart and getting that word out of your mouth and being able to release it, because that's what it happens. You know, the Bible said that the word in our mouth is like a two-edged sword. And all I can say is just say it. Just say it. Just say what the word says. You're going to feel like you're lying for a while. I know how that works. When you're saying, you know, God says, you know, that, you know, husbands, I'll just use this one because my wife's not in here. You know, maybe you and the missus aren't getting along very good. And you're saying, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And you may not be feeling that in your heart right now, but you're releasing that by faith. Praise God. I got me a good wife. Amen. Now, I do have a good wife. I'm glad. Praise God. And I know many of you do. A couple of you, I'll still pray for. No, I'm just kidding. But so you're saying what the word says. Why? Because, you know, we need to turn our marriages around. And that's important. So it's about being able to say what God says. And as we do that, we're going to start to see change. And as we do that, you know, I believe God is going to honor our faith as we confess what the Word says. And there's a lot of ways you can do it. You know, picking your favorite scriptures or scriptures that you need to turn your situation around, whatever it is. But I encourage you to do this. You know, I was trying to be nice. Lazy people never see anything good happen in their life when it comes to the things of God. You know, if we're too lazy to go look it up. I mean, even if you don't have enough strength to look it up in your own Bible, at least Google it, praise God. Amen. Google it. Copy and paste it. Print it out. You know, put it in a place where you can find it. And then just start to read it. And then read it out loud and release it. Amen. And start to see things happen in your life. Because that's really what it's all about. Seeing things happen. Amen. Let's pray.